The following program is recorded content created by the Truth Network.
It's Matt Slick Live. Matt is the founder and president of the Christian Apologetics Research Ministry, found online at carm.org. When you have questions about Bible doctrines, turn to Matt Slick Live for answers. Taking your calls and responding to your questions at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
YouTube, I watch it. There's so much information out there. And you know, I've really been enjoying that, watching all kinds of stuff, and just enjoying enjoying it. Anyway, I got so much to research and do. So, hey, look, you want to get... All right, hope we're on now. Had a little tech problem, and, hey, Keith, if you hear me, let me know. Everything's good. Sometimes, you know, things happen, and that's all right. Sorry about that. A little bit of a glitch, my bad. And now we're on the air. Hey, folks, if you want to give me a call, all you got to do is dial 877-207-2276. And I want to hear from you. Last night I did a Bible study on eschatology. It became interesting. And I'm actually thinking about doing something different on eschatological view, and doing something inside of PowerPoint and doing an actual long presentation. And it'll take me a few weeks to present that, or get it ready to present. I'll probably end up doing that. And let's see, what else? If you want to give me a call, like I said, 877-207-2276. I want to hear from you. Now, on Fridays, a lot of times what I'll do if, you know, things are a little bit slow because Fridays are like that, I'll do hate mail. So I spent some time before the show going through some of the hate mail. And I thought I'd read some of them and have a little bit of fun with them. I got issues here, but I like hate mail. I get a kick out of it when people email me and say stuff and insult me and call me names. And I don't know what it is about me, but I like it. I get a kick out of it. So, and people have been commenting lately that they want me to do hate mail. They enjoy it. I've even had people call up and request it on the air. So I'm going to do a little bit right now while we're waiting for people to give me a call. 877-207-2276. Check this out. What do Matt Slick and Joseph Smith have in common? Apart from being in apostasy and misrepresenting Christian message, they both had a vision of God, which they both assume was a real God, appearing to them. I never said I had a vision of God. I've never claimed that. That's never been the case. I had once a profound experience of his presence, but I never had a vision of him. I wish people would get it right. You know, if you're going to insult me, do it with facts, not with something that's wrong. And he says, how do you know there's a real God appearing, not a demon, not an angel from heaven, etc.? I'm amazed that you are so quickly forsaking the... Well, he quotes scripture. Every astray Christian movement and group claims that this, that is, the pastor will claim, I've had a vision of Christ and he spoke to me. Well, I don't know about that. Not every one of them that I'm aware of teaches that, but I certainly never had a vision of Christ. I wish I did. How do we justify the vision corresponds with the true factual teachings of Christ? Okay, there you go, you see. Misinformation. Oh, he must be a leftist. How about, here's another one. I am, I'll just say his first name, Keith, and all so-called ministers, pastors, bishops, and whatever, I can't say everything he says here, they proclaim themselves are full of, and I can't, and will be held accountable. That's, there you go. So somebody just calls, just writes that. Okay, here's another one. Hi, Jesus says, don't even think that I have come to do with the law. So that means you folks who believe Paul instead of Jesus, that makes all of you antichrist. Wow. You know, there's a question about that. Did Paul and Jesus teach the same thing? And the answer is yes. Now, here's another question. Is Paul just as inspired as Jesus? And the answer is yes. Because Jesus is God in flesh, and Paul and Peter and John and Matthew, etc., were all inspired by God, and so it's all an equal level of inspiration and truth. Paul and Jesus don't contradict each other, all right? They don't contradict each other. And a lot of people don't get that. They think we just follow Paul and not Jesus, but I can find, I can show you justification by faith alone in Jesus' teachings very easily, just like Paul teaches. Anyway, here, how about this one? Let's, Okay, now put your seatbelts on, folks, because we have another one from Zator. Now, every now and then, we get this Zatorian message. Zator, okay? What is Zator? Well, let's just say he doesn't have all his celestial paws in the litter box. This is what he says. Greetings to our human cousin. The celestial elements which propose diagnostic confirmation to disorganized thought processes rests upon prophetic uncertainty. What does that mean? I have no clue. The book contains past and future happenings related to your planet's capabilities to indirectly affect the universe and surrounding universes. Now, when people write to me stuff like this, you know, the universe, by definition, is everything that exists. You go left, right, up, down, as far as you can go. That's the universe. So, now he says that our universe and the surrounding universes, but that doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make sense. Anyway, the darkness that surrounds your planet has positive potential. Oh, that's good to know. We pass through your outer circle quite frequently. Yeah, I guess on his way to get the meds. We fend off evil, so no harm will come from that passage. You harm yourselves enough. Your burden is our burden. As we watch and wait for your spiritual awakening through the eyes of Master Zator, it is our desire... Oh, they quote scripture too, Ezekiel. It is our desire to prepare you for the journey. You have been chosen due to your bold and fearless stance in defending the book. You have proven to be an erudite scholar in your dimensional realm and or of knowledge. Hey, I'm an erudite scholar in my dimensional realm of knowledge. That's always good to know. I was wondering about that. I was at my wife a couple days ago. Hey, I'm trying to figure it out. Am I an erudite scholar in my dimensional realm of knowledge? And she looked at me like something was wrong with me again. Of course, you see, when she looks at me with that face, I can't tell if she's looking at me like I'm not normal or I am normal, because I say things like this and she looks at me. Is it regular face of disbelief she's looking at me, or is it because I talk like that all the time and it's a normal face? I don't know, but at any rate, I couldn't figure it out. Due to the fact that many spiritual creatures battle for possession of your planet, which reveals much, you and will in time expose the invisible entities and shine light and truth on them, so they may be consumed by Master Zator's masterful hand. How do you get consumed by a hand? I don't know. Fear not the underworld along the trees of Eden, Zetat. So as you can see there, or as you can hear, there are people who, well, let's just say, you know, I don't know. And let's see. Here's something. Dear Matt Slick, and now if you're new to the show, on Friday, sometimes I do hate mail when the callers don't come in. Hey, folks, give me a call, okay? Five open lines, 877. Hate mail in the chat room. 877-207-2276. Give me a call. And somebody writes and says, saying Mormons, please realize that karma is not trying to attack you. When I say things like Mormons, oh, please understand, I'm not trying to attack you, but the faith that they teach is wrong, okay, and it is. And then saying my religion is false and that it cannot save anyone is absolutely an attack. Well, it's an attack on the religion, yeah. He goes, I'm a Christian, I'm Mormon, and I argued against, and if I argued against you face to face about the validity of my religion, I would wipe the floor with you. Well, that'd be good. And, thou child of hell, I'll see you while you weep at God's feet at judgment day begging for forgiveness, and I'll say, I told you so. Wow, that's a Mormon saying that. Man, if you are even remotely intelligent and can spare some of your measly, pathetic, inherently and obviously wasted time. That is awesome. That is so good. I got to read that one again. Oh, man, I like stuff like that. If you are even remotely intelligent, I guess not. I'm not even remotely intelligent. If you are even remotely intelligent and can spare some of your measly, pathetic, inherently and obviously wasted time to email me back, I will be grateful. Sincerely. Sincerely. your unadmirer. So, so he condemns me to hell. Says, even if I were remotely intelligent, and I could spare some of my measly, pathetic, inherently, and obviously wasted time, email him back sincerely. I'm sorry. It's killing me. You moron, you idiot. Sincerely. Wow. Oh. Yeah, I got issues. I sure love this stuff. It's woo. Okay. Maybe I'll do one more. Let's see if there's any that are good like this. Okay, let's see. Here we go. I am Mr. So-and-so, and I have another message. I found out that Matthew Slick, that's me, is really an agnostic. Really? I didn't know I was an agnostic. Here I am defending Christ, defending that God exists, it's a Trinity, the God of the Scriptures, and I'm an agnostic. Who'd have thought? Not me. He says, the things that I have to say is not suitable. The things I have to say is. No, it should be the things I have to say are not suitable for the minds of agnostics. Whoa, really? In other words, what I have to say is not of his level. But if it is not true that Matthew Slick is an agnostic, please let me know. And so he goes on and on and on. So, I'm just cracking up. I can't help it. The first one was good, though. It was awesome. It's insult to me left and right. Okay, one more, and then we'll get to the caller. I know. Here, 877-207-2276. So there's a YouTube clip out there which says says it all about this clown, Matt Slick. He completely lies about getting authority from Jesus. Wow, I didn't know that. I'm a clown? Man, I love this stuff, man. I just do. Are you really going to trust this man? Well, of course not, ladies and gentlemen. You don't trust some guy in a radio whose name's Slick. That's a gimme. You just don't do that. Come on. He says, why are all Protestants hellbound? It's because you will all die in your sin because you do not believe in baptism and confession. Yes, we do believe in baptism and confession. Oh, my goodness. Okay. You will all join your founder, Martin Luther, along with the other 30,000 or so Christian sects. I will pray for you so that you will leave this lie that Matt Slick preaches. And then he gives a link to a YouTube thing. I'm going to click and see if it takes me to a YouTube thing. Apparently, let's see. Video unavailable. All right. So, yeah. Okay, so there's the wake-up calls, emails that I enjoy so much, a lot of fun. Let's just get to Danny from Charlotte, North Carolina, who we lost. Oh, man. So now, why don't we just jump on with Laura from North Carolina. Laura, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, uh-oh, I'm back.
That's all right.
I spoke with you last night.
It's all right.
And I wanted to commend you or... That's the way you handle your sense of humor is wonderful.
Oh, I have a great sense of humor. Oh, people don't know.
I like the way you ask your wife. I didn't know that I was.
That's right. Hey, we got a break. We got a break. So hold on, okay?
Okay.
We'll get back with you, okay, Laura?
Okay.
All right. Hey, folks, we have four open lines. 877-207-2276. Give me a call.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. We have four open lines. Why don't you give me a call? 877-207-2276. People in the chat room are telling me they enjoyed the hate mail. All right, so there you go. Hey, maybe Laura put the URL for the... stuff in there so people watch. I don't know. But let's get back to a different Laura from North Carolina. Laura, welcome. You're back on the air.
Hey. Yeah, I am from a planet far, far away. Thought okay. I'd give you a call, long distance.
It's all right.
So, not that was all I had to really say, was that, you know, everywhere, it's got to be somewhere, somebody's got to say something cruel or, you know, put you down.
Oh, yeah.
But
I get it a lot.
Same time, there are so many people, you know, so many people that genuinely care about others. And like I said before, it does not take anything to encourage someone, you know.
Well, I do get a lot of.
We need to lift people up. Hmm?
I do get a lot of love mail, though. We have a lot of people who email and they're thankful. And
I've seen,
and I can read some of it. Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, there is. We get a lot, but that's not as fun.
Yeah.
You know, when they say things like, "Man, really appreciate it. You're good."
You know, they'll talk about the hate. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Here's one. Like here's a love mail. See, here's a love mail. Okay. Mm-hmm. I listen to your radio show frequently. I benefit from your insight very much. Keep up the good work. God bless. Well, see, that's not entertaining. It might be true.
If you say so.
Even if I do say so. Maybe it's true, but it's just not exciting. You know? And so
right.
I even have whacko mail.
Do that, don't we?
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, people.
And I that's, you know, like this man from Zaycon or whatever. That's pretty.
What's that?
Help.
I'm sorry, what'd you say?
That poor fellow from Zaycon or whatever.
Zator.
I know. Stay tuned.
Uh-huh. Well, the years ago, before I got to different stations, it was somebody, I'd read an email. Man, it was great because it was the guy who said that on a certain day his pastor was going to transform his body into an atomic body. And I just went off on that. And I had so much fun. You know, an atomic body. You know, what happens if you eat beans? You know, what happens if you burp?
You didn't, man.
Oh, yeah, I did. I said, you know, run for your life. You know, he's going to the bathroom. And so, you know, I was just having fun.
Oh, wow. Thanks for sharing.
No, it's okay. You're welcome. All right. Okay.
Well, I've got to finish cleaning up this living room, but I so enjoy listening to you, you know. And
I wish my wife said that.
I've learned a lot.
I wish my wife said, I love listening to you.
Oh.
But it does
you don't
not
behave,
happen.
You don't make you go stand in the corner.
Well, no, see, what happens is, you know, I go up to her and go, hey, honey, how you doing? And she just looks at me like, what are you going to say this time? You know, what's going
to
be dumb?
Well,
so I try
prepared,
to say
that. You know?
Oh, she's, well, you know, she's only been married to me 35 years. I think she's kind of used to my inane persiflage. But, you know, so, poor woman.
Very, well, I don't know if I'm too personal with her, but it seems from what you said about, you know, your wife, you've been a wonderful husband.
I don't know about that. I've certainly had my faults. I've got Asperger's, and there's been some difficulties due to that. But, you know, that's the way it is.
Well,
but she's a good woman. What's that?
Quit eating those hamburgers.
What's that?
But eating those hamburgers.
I don't have that much. I'm on a diet lately. I've been losing weight and working out. So, anyway.
Oh, no. Anyway, you said Asperger's, and I didn't know what that was, and I was being.
Oh, no. Asperger's is a form of
not
autism.
Eating hamburgers.
It's autism. I'm on the autism spectrum. Oops, sorry. Hold on.
Okay.
Yeah, I do. I'm autistic, and I used to hyper-focus. I don't do it as much as anymore, but I hyper-focus so much. I was in self-hypnosis, and I could do that for hours at a time, studying in depth for hours. But now I'm 65.
Wow.
I don't do that as much. And I have an ability to remember numbers and patterns, and so I can remember
that's
scriptures.
That's me, numbers
and
music.
What's that?
I said, with me, it's numbers and music. And
well,
I mean, it's
okay,
weird.
That makes sense.
People at church have told me, you know. Huh?
Okay. Well, with my wife, it's recipes and sandwich making. Okay. And so, because I'm going to get in trouble for that one. People are going to start mailing me shovels because I dig myself a hole all the time. So, all right.
All right.
Okay.
I'm going to go, but you take care.
You
know?
Too.
God bless you and your wife, your family.
All right. Okay. Well, God bless.
Bye-bye.
Okay. Bye. Hey, folks, it's a slow Friday. If you want to give me a call, all we got to do, all you have to do is dial 877-207-2276. If you're new to the show and you're not quite sure what's going on, this is a Christian apologetic show, and I get very, very serious about defending the Christian faith. I do debates with atheists, Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, Roman Catholics, Eastern Orthodox, agnostics, you know, all kinds of people, and I have discussions in depth, but also like to goof around and have a little bit of fun. So, okay, can I address the significance of Melchizedek? Was he Jesus in the Old Testament? No, he was not. I don't believe he was. He was a type of Christ. If you go to Hebrews chapter 7, he is mentioned there, and he's also called a man. But no, he's not a pre-incarnate Christ. But even though it says he's born without generations, without genealogy and all this kind of stuff, it's just a way in that ancient culture of saying how great he was. That's all it is. So he was just a man, not a pre-incarnate manifestation in the sense that he was living and doing things and doing priestly duties in a thing. There's no evidence of that. So it's just a typological representation of who Christ is. All right. Now, last night I taught on amillennialism, and we had a newbie who came in to the study, and there was, let's just say, not argumentative, but tried to counter everything, and, try to be polite, say, just hold on, it's a different topic, and, it ended well afterwards, but if you heard that information on amillennialism, I'm curious to know what you thought of it. But what I was thinking of doing, I was telling my wife about this. A while back, I started a PowerPoint slide presentation, and I'm looking at it right now. I've got, let's see how many slides. I've got 38 slides. And what I was thinking about doing is completing it and going through building a case for amillennialism and doing it such a way that when you click the next slide, things glide and move and things like this, but also set it up so that each thing builds on another, and you can see how the argument is developed. And so I'm thinking about doing that and then presenting it and then narrating it as I go through that. So people would like that. If you do like that, if you like that idea, in the chat room, just say, yes, I want to hear you if you think it's a good idea. And if you're curious about it, let me know, because then the more people who say yes to it, the more I get motivated to work on things. I've got 3 or 4 articles I'm working on right now, and I'm about to release a table of comparing the different millennial views, pre-mill, all-mill, post-mill, and going through that. So I'll probably release that in the next hour or two. And, I'm enjoying the discussion of this, the eschatological view. Now, I'm going to say something here that I think is a bold statement. And I want to say that, in my opinion, okay, is that this is just subjective, it's my opinion, that once the information in support of amillennialism is presented, I don't believe that anyone can refute it. Now, when I say that, I'm not saying it, with arrogance. It's like, so far, but maybe someone can, and I'm totally open to that. I am. So maybe you do it. Who knows? We'll see what happens. Hey, folks, there's the music. We'll be right back after these messages. Please stay tuned. 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, everyone, welcome back to the show. Two open lines, 877-207-2276. Let's get to Jeff from Tacoma, Washington. Jeff, welcome. You are on the air.
Hey, Jeff. Matt, how's it going?
It's going, man. It's going. So what do you got, big guy?
All right. Yeah, I've been listening about 5 or 6 years, first time calling.
Okay.
Before I want to get started, I didn't know if you knew this or not, but most people take and hang their pictures and art up on the wall. I noticed there in the background, you got one leaning against the wall there.
On the ground. That's right. And that's because, that's so people can see it. Because if it's up high, then they can't see it. That's why.
And my wife. You're slick, man.
That's right. And my wife drew that one, as a matter of fact. So,
Nice.
Yeah, she's a good artist.
All right.
Oh, yeah. She's very, cool. Very talented. And one of our daughters is even more talented. Yeah. Seriously.
Huh, nice.
I have not.
I'm digging the... me either. I am digging the hate mail. I was wondering if you've ever thought of, I don't know if you watch much James White, where he'll critique some of the stuff, but it seems like yours is more just kind of ad hominem garbage.
So you mean their writing is ad hominem garbage, or my commentary is it? because you weren't quite clear.
Clarification. The emails ad hominem. They don't attack your substance.
Oh, yeah, I know. But you see, the thing is, people don't know this. I mean, I try to say it, but I have a lot of fun with my friends. And I have a good sense of humor, and I write humor stuff. And, you know, it's quite a dichotomy from the seriousness I do of theological exposition and analysis. But I like to have a lot of fun, and I'm always insulting my friends. They just expect it, you know. You know? So, you know, stuff like that.
Actually go for your substance, it would be nice to watch you kind of, you know, counterpoint them, but I'm not seeing that or hearing that much. It's just kind of name calling. But my main question.
But those are the good ones.
Middle knowledge. Do you think that there is any place, even for what they're calling like mere middle knowledge? Or to me, I listen to it, and it just sounds like they're just flapping their gums, trying to make philosophy fit. But
okay, well, there's truth.
If your listeners are
There's truth to middle knowledge.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, so God, it means that God's knowledge of all things, He knows everything that would happen in every possible circumstance. So that's what middle knowledge basically is. And see, so there's different views. I'm going to get into too much of stuff. We'll just leave it at that. So middle knowledge is the awareness that God has of what free will creatures will do under different circumstances, and He knows all those things. And so the problem here is the problem isn't with middle knowledge itself. The problem is what people do with that concept. And then some will say that what happens is God knows what we'll do in different circumstances. And as a result of it, what He does is He brings into existence the created order that will bring about the most salvation for people, because He knows what different people are going to do in different situations, so He brings out the best world for that. And it's dumb theology. I'm sorry, but it is. It just doesn't make any sense.
Oh, I see. And so, yeah, that's the... Yeah, because, you know, He decreed all things, so even if He would know the choices it'd make given X, Y, Z... I mean, to me, that just doesn't even make sense, because He's already decreed it anyway.
See, there you go. Now, the thing is, this is where we got to get serious here. How can God decree our free will choices? And the answer is, He can. He can decree and bring about our free will choices. The Bible says in Proverbs 21:1, He moves the heart of the king where He wishes it to go. Now, an illustration I use on a very basic level is I could be sitting across a table from somebody having a cup of coffee, and to my right and to his left is a window outside that goes outside, that looks outside the street. What if I want to cause him to freely look to his left, to my right, out the window? What if I want to cause him to freely look out the window? Can I do that? Well, yes. I point to out the window and I say, "What the heck is that?" And he looks. I didn't force him to, but I did cause him to, but yet he's the one who freely chose to. All of those can happen at the same time without any violation of truth or fact. God can certainly, in a celestial level, be in control of our lives and our freedom and work within them and around them. It can't be any other way, because God says He works all things after the counsel of His will. It's real simple.
I gotcha. Okay, so in a sense, using secondary causes to accomplish His decree, or His primary cause.
That's a way to put it. He can use secondary causes to bring about primary, in that sense, the way we're looking at it.
The way we're looking at it, right. Okay.
Right.
All right. Okay. That's cool.
All right. Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, most of what I was hearing was, it's been hot lately, and I thought,
why is middle knowledge?
So much attention, you know.
Well, yeah, I believe it's because they are trying to figure God out in relationship with their own freedom, and the only result that can come about due to man's thinking is to reduce God and exalt man, because we don't have the capacity to understand the mind of God and how he can do things. So the natural tendency is to say, well, God won't violate my free will. And they work as a universal principle. I've had people tell me that. He won't violate your free will. And I say, show me that in Scripture. And they go, well, you believe he can't? I said, I didn't say he can or can't. I'm just saying, show me your position in Scripture. That's all I'm saying. If you're going to make a case and then build a theological, house on this theological fact, this foundation, verify it first. Verify it. People don't verify. They assume, well, that's how it is biblically, so right. Let's move on from here. Well, I just say, well, show me. You know, I'm not being mad or you know, just, okay, show me that verse in Scripture where let's it says look. That, and let's go, yeah. And they can't.
All right.
So,
bingo, you know. Your summary was just what I was thinking when I'm watching the debates, how you just summed it up there at the end. I was just
that
like,
just that just shows you're smart. That's it. You get the same view I did. That's made you're a smart guy. You know, great minds think alike.
Yeah, by the way, I've noticed a sense of humor. I think we all do if we've listened to you for any short period of time.
Well, figure out that I've got some screws loose. That's what they figure out first. Yeah, and then they find out that they... They find that out. That's right. And then they find out, wait a minute, I still like the guy. And that's what happens. So that's how
I heard the rattling, and I figured...
It's right. They like me anyway.
Yeah, and the screws were loose.
That's right. Because most people can relate to it anyway. And that's just what it is. So no big deal.
All right.
Okay,
thanks,
buddy.
Man. I'll let you move on to the next.
All right.
Take care.
God bless. Okay.
Appreciate
it. Whoops, sorry about that. Hey, let's get to... Mitchell from Charlotte, North Carolina. Mitchell, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt. How you doing?
Let me check. I'm okay.
That's funny. Good to know. So I guess I'm trying to word this right. What roles did Jesus and the Holy Spirit play in the Old Testament? Because I've heard you say whenever... You know, when it says, I think Adam and Eve, you know, saw God, you saying that they saw the pre-incarnate Christ. And so I guess I was just looking for just a little bit of clarification as for, you know, I guess what was Jesus' role before he was sent by the Father.
Sure. One of the things that he did was to create. He was the issue or the means by which all things are created. He is the one who was in the Garden of Adam and Eve who... instituted the gospel message at the first time there. He all appearances of him in the Old Testament are or the physical appearances of God in a humanish form are the pre-incarnate Christ, etc. The Holy Spirit is found in Genesis 1:1-3 in that the Spirit of God hovered over, and also in Job 33:4 the Holy Spirit made me, and I forgot the verse. David says, do not take your Holy Spirit from me. And so let me just do this right now. Let me try something here. I'm going to go do this right now. In my Bible program, which is really fast, I'm in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. I'm going to type in, let's see. Just try this, Holy Spirit, and see what happens. Yeah, and that's Psalm 51:11. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. So the Holy Spirit is there in the Old Testament. Isaiah 63:10, but they rebelled and grieved his Holy Spirit. And... then it goes into Matthew. Hold on, we got a break, so hold on, buddy. Hey, folks, okay. We'll be right back after these messages. We have two open lines. If you want to give me a call, 877-207-2276. We'll be right back.
It's Matt Slick Live, taking your calls at 877-207-2276. Here's Matt Slick.
All right, welcome back, everybody. Let's get back on the line with Mitchell from Charlotte, North Carolina. All right, you're back on. So you there?
Yeah, I'm here. What's up, man?
All right, man. So, hey, during the break, I did a little bit of research and just did a search through the Old Testament on Spirit of God. God did Holy Spirit, which occurs, and the Spirit of God, and it comes up a lot. And the Spirit of God came upon him, and that's in Numbers. And let's see if I can go find another one. Oh, I can do it this way. And so, there we go. So in 1 Samuel, it mentions the Spirit of God. 1 Samuel 11, 1 Samuel 19, 2 Chronicles 15, 2 Chronicles 24, Job 33:4, Ezekiel 11:24. So, yep, he's all over the place in the Old Testament.
Gotcha, okay. If I can ask really quick, so how do you come, I guess, to the conclusion that it was a pre-incarnate Christ that they saw?
Because it says God appears in the Old Testament as God Almighty. You can go to Exodus 6, 2 and 3 for that. And you can also go to other verses like Genesis 17, 1, Genesis 18, 1, Exodus 24, 9 through 11, Numbers 12, 6 through 8. These are verses where God appears, and it's even said to be God Almighty. And Jesus says in John 6, 46 that no one's ever seen the Father. So if they were seeing God Almighty, but they were not seeing the Father, who was it? The only other option...
There's a light bulb.
Okay, there you go. The only other option is the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit never appears in an anthropomorphic form. It's always a movement, a pillar of fire, and things like that. So the anthropomorphic forms are the pre-incarnate Christ. Okay?
Gotcha. Cool. That clarified a lot. Thank you, sir. Have a good night. Go get them.
Okay, buddy. God bless, Mitchell. All right. Hey, folks, three open lines. Want to give me a call? 877-207-2276. Let's get to Mike from North Carolina. Mike, welcome. You're on the air.
Hey, Matt, how you doing?
Doing all right, by God's grace. What do you got?
I've got some passages in the Bible which lead me to believe that every Christian in the United States, actually every Christian in the world, is an abomination unto the Lord. Now, okay. Let me read the passages come from Leviticus 19. 35 and 36, it says, "You shall do no unrighteousness in judgment, in meter yard, in weight, or in measure. Just balances and just weights, a just ephah and a just hin shall ye have. I am the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt." Then again in Deuteronomy 25, it gets even more specific. It says, thou shalt not have in thy bag diverse weights, a great and a small. Thou shalt not have in thine house diverse measures, a great and a small, but thou shalt have a perfect and just weight, a perfect and just measure shalt thou have, and thy days, that thy days may be lengthened in the land which the Lord thy God. And it says, for all that do such things are an abomination unto the Lord. And then again, it says it again in Proverbs. It's the same thing, Proverbs 20:10, and then down below, I think 20:20.
So
diverse
what's your question,
weights, diverse measures. So the question is, aren't we all sinners and an abomination because we carry in our pockets, it's called money because it isn't, but it really isn't money. We carry these pieces of paper that we call money, and those are diverse weights and diverse measures because it changes.
No. When they would measure things back there, they had scales, and they had a standard weight that other weights were compared against, so that there was a commonality inside the community and inside the nation by which the common weight would be used. So you might have a weight, like a stone, but they would have different ways of putting things together, have a different weight. It could be of metal. And that was a standard measured by other ones. And so this would be dispersed around the area, and they would use them as a central measurement of weight. And so you would say, here's a weight of whatever for a bushel of grain or whatever it might be. That's what it's talking about when it says you shall not alter those weights so that you are stealing from people. That's what it's talking about.
But isn't one of the functions of money to be a measure of value? Money has three functions. It's a store of value, it's a medium of exchange, and it's a measure.
Now you're equivocating. Now, look, picture a small segment of metal. It has, let's just say, just for our argument, it's 100 grams, all right? And let's say it's exactly 100 grams. And we take that and we copy it by adding metal to another object, whatever it is, until we get that exact same weight. And we can balance it on a scale. We have the initial weight is the thing that we're using. And then we create other weights and use that as a scale. Those other ones are carried out of the kingdom. Okay, that's what it is. That's what it means, an unjust weight. when you have money in your mm-hmm. pocket, their equivalent of money was based out of the initial weight. And it was given a certain value monetarily because they couldn't carry weights. They would use money that had the equivalent of the weight. And so that's all it is. And we're to be honest in our dealings as we with people in commerce. And that's one of the underlying principles. To say, well, money in your pocket is the same thing as evil weights. That's not the same thing.
Well, I'm not saying that we're evil, but the monetary system we have adopted, because it's not the monetary system that the Constitution of the United States gave us. Right. The monetary system, the Constitution, as a matter of fact, the Constitution is very specific. The government cannot print paper money that is backed by nothing. They can only
gold and silver.
That's it.
But you got to understand something. We have a corrupt government. Flat out, a corrupt government. And this is why
what do we do
people,
with that?
Well, we vote these people out. And we fight against the tyranny. You can do it by driving trucks into cities and saying, hey, we want our rights. You know, you can do stuff like that.
So Christians have to get involved.
Absolutely, yes.
The Christians have to get involved in changing the system.
Absolutely, yes. The idea of any pastors telling Christians don't get involved with politics, it's not our realm, is either flat out wrong. Flat out wrong. God, Jesus is Lord over everything. He's not just Lord over church on Sunday, but how you are when you vote, and how you are when you drive your car, how you are when you are in the store. And you are to be honest and people of integrity. This is why Christians should be involved in politics. They're obligated to be involved in politics. Because in politics, you can then defend the helpless. We're obligated to do that. Isaiah 1:17 says that. And so are the unbelievers going to do that? Are the unbelievers who are passing laws to benefit themselves, benefit their own pockets, who get insider trading, who take kickbacks from people? Are they the ones who are carrying out the concerns for the common person? Absolutely not. This is why Christians need to be involved. Okay? We
right.
have to.
I agree 100%.
And if we don't, when everything falls, because it will, because the unbelievers can't be trusted to live properly for long periods of time. You can understand, the Constitution was written and highly influenced by Christians. Highly influenced. I recommend that people read the Constitution of the United States. You'd be surprised at how much is in there that is influenced by Scripture. It's right there. You know, they don't meet on Sundays, for example. They have days off and things like this, the Sabbath. So read through it, you'd be surprised. But what's happening is the inmates are now in charge of the asylum. And we have these leftist, I'm going to be careful what I say on radio, because I have no respect for Hillary Clinton, for Nancy Pelosi, for AOC, for these leftist moron wackos who are there, who don't know what the truth is, who are socialistic, who pass laws that oppress people, confiscate money, they want to get rid of our rights, and they want to have others. The government have rights and be the ones in charge of our lives and our distribution. They want that. And that's what they're going to do. And if we don't stop them, they're going to continue to destroy our Constitution and the laws. I mean, think about it. This moron in office who is opening up the border to let illegals come in, which is against the law, while he's saying everybody else has to have their vaccines and their masks, and then he lets them come in illegally with no vaccine and masks, then he flies them into the country. That right there is just demonstration that this guy's a puppet. And what are Christians doing? Nothing. Yeah, let's go, Brandon.
Let me make one more comment that brings me back to this to show you how to show how truthful the Bible is. Mm-hmm. Is that at the heart and soul of all of this is our monetary system. Because if we had an honest monetary system, we wouldn't have the big government that we have today, because you couldn't do it, because you cannot print gold and silver.
That's right.
Back when we had gold and silver as money, the government was small. It was only after the creation of the Federal Reserve that government began to grow and become this gigantic octopus.
The Federal Reserve is a private organization. Right, run by bankers. And
right.
One of the things that President Kennedy wanted to do was get us back on the gold standard. And look what happened to him.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's right. And it was Nixon that took us completely off of
it. Yep. That's right.
In 1973?
Yep. He was brilliant in foreign policy, and then he went and did what he did there, which really hurt our country, because now all they got to do is print money. And when the leftists are in control, they print more and more and more and more, which means that our dollars that we make are in our pocket literally lose value. We have to then suffer the consequences of the idiocy of our government that's overspending, and now we're $30 trillion in debt. It's just insane. Our country cannot survive this. It cannot. It's going to collapse.
No. No, the monetary system will collapse.
Yep.
And what it does is it hurts the poor, and it enriches the rich. That's why the rich get richer and the poor get poorer.
Well, here, since we're talking about this stuff, I'm going to make a lot of people mad. Why is the United States government getting involved with Ukraine and saying, your border, we've got to protect, and yet they open up our own borders in hypocrisy? Why is it? I can't help but wonder. I don't have any evidence for this. I'm just thinking out loud. Could it be because the powers that be need another war or something to be able to sell weapons for and through, and get people can get rich again? I don't know. I just wonder. I wish there were reporters who would run that angle down and see. I don't trust our government. Sorry, I don't. And I'm saying this. I don't trust them. But you know what? Candace Owens, oh, man. Boy, I like Candace Owens. She's incredible.
Her.
Oh, man, she's awesome. And I hope that when she turns 35, because that's the minimum age to run for president, I hope she runs for president. A black woman who's intelligent and articulate, oh, she would be incredible. She is awesome, and I wish she would. Yeah, we need good
favorite.
People. What's that?
Yeah. She's my favorite.
Oh, she is. I once said to my wife, I go, can I date her? And she goes, yeah. You know, because she's so awesome, you know. So she, you know, I just think Candace Owens is just phenomenal. And, yeah. We need people like her in office. Could you imagine Candace Owens debating AOC? Be like Mike Tyson beating up me, you know. Yeah. And we got to go, buddy. All right.
Okay, thank you,
Matt. All right.
God bless.
God bless. Vicki, what scriptures talk about cremation? None, except for Revelation 14:11, the smoke of their torment goes up forever and ever. That's the closest you'll get to. Call back on Monday. Hey, folks, everybody, have a great weekend. May the Lord bless you. And by His grace, we'll be back on the air on Monday. Talk to you then.
Another program powered by the Truth Network.